Matt Middleton and Dallin Schrader of Saved by Scarlett have come for a chat on The Antidote. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here as well. Thank you for having us.
So we are missing band members, so maybe you should fill us in about the other guys in the band.
So Brendan is our newest addition to the band. Before Brendan, it was Dallin. Brendan actually plays guitar. He's very well versed in not only cello, but also on music theory and covering different bands by playing electric guitar. He also knows acoustic, of course, and he's been playing for a long time. How long would you say, Dallin? Like 20 years? He still plays in the orchestra, too.
Wow. Yeah, he's a lifelong musician. He started learning cello really young.
Yeah, so he actually is kind of the go-to guy in the band, and Dallin has a nickname for him, which I'll let you talk about, Dallin, but he is the go-to when it comes to music theory. Any questions I have on guitar, even if it's actually down to like the physical guitar itself, because there's some hand positioning that I've been doing wrong and stuff that he's been able to diplomatically kind of like say, hey, like, you know, this is something you might want to try. And so we definitely appreciate him. And he's been with us for, I'd say, about a year. Obviously, he passed his initiation, if you will, of doing a couple shows with us, doing our hardest stuff. And he's done a great job. We're very proud of him.
Cool.
You want to take Nate, Dallin?
Sure. Nate's a singy boy. I guess he's been singing for a long time, but he also does guitar, plays drums just casually at home, I guess. I don't think he's done much in the band for, what, over 10 years? He hasn't really played drums, not since the guy before me, right, Adam? Yeah, so it's been like 10 years since he's played in the band. But no, he's obviously a founding member, him and Matt, founding members. And no, super fun to be around. He knows his stuff. I know he's done a lot of research into like vocal anatomy and stuff. He's taken, say, like one-on-one lessons, but he's gotten that. I know he got the Zen of Screaming from Melissa Cross, and he learned a whole lot of stuff from that. In my opinion, he's gotten immensely better in just the past couple years alone.
Dallin, you've left yourself out of the loop here. You got to explain about yourself, because you're the guy that's the most important band member.
Yeah, the drummer is the most important. Everybody knows this. The drummer's the most important.
Yes, let's inflate that ego. Let's continue to blow it up. It's very important. Absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes the other guys in your metronome cuts out, or they have to pull their ears out, and it's like, oh, well, they just rely on me to keep the time. That has happened before. Yeah, I've been playing music my whole life. I started playing piano when I was a really young boy, 8 years old, then picked up drums in middle school, and then switched my focus from piano to drums. I still play piano. The piano part you hear in Memory Relapse at the end is your boy Dallin playing that. But yeah, I've been playing literally my whole life. I'm an in-home music teacher now, so I teach drums and piano.
You guys really do keep busy with the music.
Oh yeah, it's all in. It's absolutely a calling. I know for me personally, it was, you know, I'm trying to find all these jobs that I can hold, and you know, I got to take care of the family and all this stuff, and it always just kind of came back to music in some fashion. I'm like, okay, well, I guess God's telling me to do music.
Matt left out something important, is that Nate is your twin brother. I need to know something. Which of you is the evil twin?
Oh my gosh. I thought usually people ask which one is the older twin. and then I give them a biology lesson that conception for twins happens at the same time. But we won't have to go there because you asked a different question.
He's throwing you for a loop, Matt.
All right. So neither. There's the loop.
Oh, come on. Don't be diplomatic.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a biased question, don't you think? And a bit loaded. The only thing loaded I like is a baked potato.
So it depends on who you ask and what the situation is. If I were to say good cop versus bad cop, it's like, are we talking about planning shows, 100% it's Nate. Nate is the evil twin. He's the master of it. He knows up, down, left, and right what to ask for and whatnot. And sometimes it can be a little frustrating, but he knows exactly what he's doing. So it's like, we trust him to do that. But then when it comes to like logistics and planning the shows, like the music and the technical side of it, 100% that's Matt. Because he knows the ins and out. And like, you do something wrong, he's like, listen, bro, you need to do it this way. This goes here. This plugs in here. The lights do this. So it's very situational.
Thanks, Alan.
You each have your own talents.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny too, because it's like Nate and I, we really don't even want to be in each other's lane. Like, I do not envy Nate at all. I really don't. I mean, it's amazing the opportunities he has to connect a little bit more interpersonally with like famous, more well-renowned artists and stuff. During the negotiations and stuff, he has more exposure with our social presence. And in that respect, I think that's really cool. And I wish like I could sometimes have a little bit more of that taste. But then when I do get a taste, I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm done. I'm backing out. I don't want this. Like, this isn't for me. It's not how God designed me to be, you know? And it's good because like Paul in the New Testament and in the Bible, aka Life's Instruction Manual, he says, some are an arm, others are a leg, but both create the body and they all work in perfect harmony together. And I think that's important, you know? Like, I couldn't do what Dallin does. Like, he can literally lay down a 4-4, which, yes, is easy, but, like, he is perfectly on time. And there are times where I'll stop the click and then I'll start it, and he's still right on that metronome, even though the click was gone for, like, a good 10 seconds. That's how good he is. In fact, we call him the timekeeper.
I am the timekeeper.
You that are. Is his nickname. That's it.
I think you said that well, Dallin. I think Nate sometimes gets very lost, or not like lost, but very, I think he has a lot of misunderstandings about the logistics of some of the production that we do, as far as like the mechanical side of things and electrical side of things. Like the less important stuff, he just kind of like lets me like handle. I'm not saying production isn't important, but technically at the end of the day, there's no production if there's no show. So he kind of puts the show together and then hands it off, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You did just mention about the Christian aspect of your music by pulling in that Bible reference. And on your debut, Out of Darkness, you didn't waste any time giving away your intentions to your listeners, because the song intro says, through his death came life, with his hands and heart, he pierced through the dark to shatter the chains meant to destroy us. You know, a lot of bands kind of veil their lyrics, but you didn't want to go that route with Saved by Scarlet.
And you got that right. No, we don't aim to be like other bands. I mean, we certainly aspire and take influence from other bands, and they all do an incredible job. But we also recognize the importance and significance of God's calling for us to make our own type of mark. And that is to be unrelenting in our speech of the Lord, but to do it in a loving approach.
I get that. But you know, with being in a band, it's never an easy thing. What is it you enjoy the most about Saved by Scarlet?
My favorite thing about it, it's kind of two parts leading to one whole. Obviously, I love playing drums. Like, the ability to just play drums for a living is amazing. And being able to share my message to fans through that playing, like, it adds that extra layer. Instead of just playing drums, I'm also, in a sense, this is how I worship, and let me talk to you about it, you know, what it means to me. So it's kind of like twofold, but honestly, that's my favorite part, seeing how it impacts those around us.
I get that, but there have to be challenges. What's the struggle?
Getting there. Like, sometimes we have to travel far, and, you know, obviously the world we live in, everything costs money, and sometimes getting there is half the battle. Just being able to get the gas, get the car rental, sometimes you have to stay overnight, and We're not a rich band, but we still want to spread the messages as far as we can. And we take every opportunity we can, but I would argue that is probably the biggest struggle we face.
With gas prices right now, it's got to be brutal.
Oh my goodness. I just filled my car and it was like $45 and it's normally like 30.
I wish it was that inexpensive in Canada.
Oh, I know it's worse in Canada. Oh man.
I want to pull in the very first single from the band, and that was Conquerors. One verse from it says, "We're the ones to never stand down. We're the ones to never burn out. Pick up your guns, shake this place, because we're the conquerors." I do get where you're going with that. You know, you want to stand firm against the opposition, but it's the pick up your guns thing. And doesn't that make you guys just fit the typical American stereotype of loving weapons?
Dude, my wife and I have been talking about when this day would come, and today is the day that we're approached on the topic. Dallin, if you don't mind me taking this one, since I know this was a little bit pre-Dallin,
this
unfortunately.
Was before me, yeah. All you,
it would have been so cool to have you there, Dallin, for that song, actually. I think that Dallin actually would have made the song better with his own flair and unique signature on the song as far as drums go. So yes, it's definitely a very like patriotic, I guess, statement. But what we're truly aiming at, and if we could rewrite those lyrics, we would write, "Pick up your sword." In other words, we are called not to just be on the defensive. If we are living in the defensive, we're living wrong, because scripture clearly tells us that there is an opposer, the deceiver, the one who causes chaos in this world, aka Satan, the antithesis of God and of Jesus and all things that are good. And he prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we're always on the defensive, then yeah, I mean, that's better than nothing, right? But God is calling us to be on the offensive. Scripture tells us clearly to take ground for Christ, to advance the kingdom forcefully, is actually what scripture says. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty doctrinally sound. So when we say pick up your guns, the true meaning of that is pick up your sword, aka the word of God, which is truth, which the Bible says cuts between bone and marrow. I love how God gives that physical description for a spiritual truth. And so we figured we would say that figuratively.
Okay. I'll accept
that.
So
that's a little bit on that. I'm trying to wrap up a very complicated thing, because nowadays, you know, this also was a little bit pre Boston Marathon bombing and stuff like that. There's been a lot of gun violence. So
yeah,
I think we probably would have changed the lyric to sword if we could.
It was like 2013 or 14, right? When that song was written.
Yeah, 2013. Yep.
Well, let's move into the style of the music of Saved by Scarlet. Your band has described it as melodic metal. I do hear that, but there's more to it than that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, obviously, Brendan and I, coming from a more classical background, are huge fans of like complex melodic riffs and things like that that you'll hear a lot in classical music. And being able to incorporate that in the metal scene, again, it adds that layer, that level of this is how we worship. I mean, one of the big things we always talk about is God didn't say you need to sing operatic soprano. You just need to make a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be on key or pleasant. It's just make a joyful noise for the Lord. So anytime that we're doing that, like it's, we take the focus of how do we worship. And for Brendan and myself, it's a lot in that melodic orchestral vein. A lot of the new songs are going to feature that. Memory Relapse was like, I would say, the first major testing ground of adding in a lot more melodic stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to go from there, because I mean, it's just how we're all evolving as musicians. I mean, I think even Matt is getting a lot more in tune with melodic stuff, just being surrounded by Brendan and myself, and we're taking influence from him as well. But ultimately, it's how can we worship the best, and what do we like to hear?
I should explain why I brought that up, and it's because of Light It Up. That is a legitimate punk song.
Yes.
doing something out of character is still okay?
I would say yes, because, I mean, at the end of the day, we want to make the music that we enjoy making, but also something that we know people will like to hear. It's definitely a two-way street. You know, we don't want to get pigeonholed into just like one specific style. Like, not that that's a bad thing. It's just what us four as musicians, what we like and what we want to do.
That's a good way of putting it.
So, you know, whatever's speaking to us at the moment, you know, we'll get random inspiration, listen to a different band and like get some inspiration from that. And it's just incorporating everything into what we create.
There's another song that's out of character from your other stuff. That's Surrender All. I mean, it's beautiful and mellow. It has this cinematic vibe. Really, in a nutshell, it's a love song to God. But that one really comes across as being personal.
Yes. That's a Nate song. I don't want to like put words in his mouth, but from what I know, it was a very personal time in his life that he ended up writing that song and a lot of things he was going through with a significant other.
Yeah,
it is 100% like a from the soul song.
That one's got a lot of deep ties. Yeah. Dallin nailed it when he said, and this is going back many, many years, by the way, mind you. So I know Dallin has heard secondhand some things, but my brother freely shares about how there have been many times where he had saved his significant other at the time's life from killing herself. And that's a very traumatic experience for anyone to go through, especially when you're a teenager. So, you know, I won't speak too much to Surrender All because that's really Nate's domain and because it's his lived experience. But there's an element of Surrender All that all of us in the band attune to our own lives. And that is we have surrendered all that we can for Christ to use us. And to do that can be a really painful process, right? But it's also beautiful and it's incredible what God will do when we come to the end of ourselves on our knees and say, Lord, please help me in my time of need. Help me understand why I'm going through these things. Help me to desire you more and to see the big picture if you'll allow me to. Getting to that point can be the most beautiful thing that you experience, but it's also kind of a difficult, traumatic, and sad experience. But we grow the most from it, like growing pains. It's productive, but it can be a little painful, but we grow. And so that's why the song, you know, starts off with just piano to get kind of more of personal, deep, reflective for the audience. And then, you know, towards the end, there's lots of chorus, lots of distortion, and lots of big hits. That is that purpose. It's to show the other side, which is the beauty and how God is taking embers and igniting them again, you know. Using what was meant for evil for good.
Sure. You keep bringing up about the Christian message in your songs. Are you recording these for only Christians, or are you really trying to reach out to non-believers?
Everybody. That's why we make metal music. They attract a group of people that are otherwise sometimes shunned just by society. People don't like screaming sounds. My parents are like, we support you, but we don't like your music. You know, it's that kind of stuff. Reaching a demographic that would otherwise not hear the message. We still want to have the message be there, but obviously the saving grace of Jesus, that's for everybody. You know, no one's exempt from that.
Oh, dude, I felt that. That's awesome.
Then playing venues, they're not just strictly Christian venues.
No. Last night we played at a nightclub and we straight up had a Christian festival nightclub and it was absolutely amazing.
Pretty much festivals only are like the actual Christian things that we do. A lot of the venues are just, they're secular venues, but you know, again, the message is for everybody.
And that makes it worthwhile doing.
Oh yes, absolutely. You never know who needs to hear the message of God that night, you know?
Back in 2024, Saved by Scarlet released your Creation in Crisis EP, which is almost as cool sounding as your band name is, but it's a little different from your earlier music. I guess I'd say it's more aggressive.
Yeah, Definitely. I might go on a limb and actually say Creation Crisis, in my opinion, is the culmination of where I believe God prophesied that we would be. As far as music, there have been many times where pastors and full spiritual leaders in our life, and when I say our, I mean my brother and I, have prophesied things and said things like, you will speak to thousands about Christ, but it won't be through just your words, it'll be through your music, how you play. And we didn't know what that would look like, what form it would take. And this is where we find ourselves at Creation Crisis, is kind of the pinnacle point.
Does the reason for the new sound have anything to do with you, Dallin, and Brendan being the newer band members? Are you playing an influence?
I would say further on, yes. I know that there was two ideas for the songs for Creation and Crisis that were already in motion before I joined, but definitely a lot of the second half, I think it was Lie the Pharisees and Compass of Guiding Light, were already kind of in the works when I joined, but then the rest of them just kind of, that's where we started feeding off of each other. And then when Brendan came on for Memory Relapse, you'll notice that extra tonal shift because he had a lot of influence on that one. So definitely was an impact for sure, because again, with the classical background, my ears are thinking, how are we all working together? And how can my drums amplify what you guys are doing on your guitars and stuff like that? And they've changed riffs to make more interesting hits and accents and stuff like that. So it's definitely taken a change for sure with the extra knowledge that that I'm bringing and Brendan's bringing.
You already mentioned that harder sound comes out on Lie of the Pharisees. And that one, I think, is the standout from the EP. The lyrics are also strong. You are not the one to bring the peace. We are the cure to a heart of deceit. Snake bites like fire infect within, because hammers break bones, but the truth can break a hypocrite. Where did that come from?
I guess it's really impacted all of us, but I know one of the catalysts for Matt wanting to write some of those lyrics was seeing hypocrisy in churches. You'll see people preaching one thing, but then living their life differently. Obviously there's always different opinions and ways to interpret the Bible and make sense of things, but there are some people that will straight up use it for their own gain and to further themselves as opposed to the mission. Things like prosperity gospel, which we're vehemently against. I mean, it's against scripture. I mean, if you read scripture, it's stuff like that is not present. It's a way to misinterpret, but just to take from other people. And that's where that hypocrisy, the lie, you know, you aren't the ones to bring the peace. The people that are using scripture for those types of reasons. The reason we say we are the ones is because our faith is rooted in scripture alone.
Mm-hmm.
Sola scriptura, I think, is the phrase that gets thrown around, where it's any questions that we have, we go back to the Bible and we do our best to understand it and find the whole context. Cherry picking verses isn't always the best thing to do because, again, misinterpretations, you can try to fulfill any narrative, but you want to look at the whole picture. And obviously imagery, snakes, the enemy in the Garden of Eden took the form of a snake, you know, that kind of stuff, just kind of biblical imagery. But that's ultimately where it comes from, is people abusing, like that. That's one of the lines later. You abused God's grace. It's, you don't get to just say, oh, I can do this because I can just repent later. That's the heart of it, really.
You know, I'm really curious. How did listeners respond to that? Did you offend anybody?
There are people that have expressed some kind of discontent, but generally speaking, from everything that I've seen and the fans have reported, is not much pushback. Because again, we're not trying to prop up ourselves and we're very open about that. And it's our intent behind it, I think, really comes through when people are willing to talk and, you know, see what's going on. And ultimately, it's been generally positive.
I like to ask challenging questions, so that's why I do bring up ones like that.
No, challenging questions are good. I mean, having the discussions and talking about the hard things, that's what moves us forward, I think. Because if you're not challenged, you're not growing.
Before we really began this proper interview, you were mentioning about how busy this summer is going to be for Saved by Scarlett. What are the plans?
Well, in the back half of the summer, lots of festivals. We got three back-to-back weekends. One's in Virginia, one's in New York, and then one is in Massachusetts. So we're going to be all over. I mean, all the kids are out of school, so there's just more time for stuff. But this is definitely the busiest summer we're going to have, for sure.
Right. But it is fun, isn't it? Even though there is all that traveling, all that busyness to it.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's probably been the best experience in my life so far. I mean, I'm only 32. I'm not super old, but, you know, I'm a father. I've got three kids, and they're all supportive, and they love coming to shows when they can, and it makes it all worth it.
Matt, you have returned, so we're going to get into the title track of Creation and Crisis, and it says, "The chasm was wide, and we should have lost. You paid the price. Hold me out of the dark. This is Creation and Crisis." I get the creation aspect of the title, but why the crisis?
Man, you know, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. You have some of the best questions I've ever heard from an interviewer. I'm not making this up. When Nate listens to this, he's going to say the same thing. You have asked such brilliant questions. Like, am I wrong, Dallin? Like, he's getting specific. I love this.
I'm digging it. It's definitely good question.
This is so cool, man.
I'm glad.
Yeah, we're used to, what do you like on your pizza? Oh, wow. Yeah, that's really inspiring. Thank you for asking that. I had to say that. I'm sorry. It's the truth. I said it to my wife. That's why I muted myself earlier. I was like, this guy has really looked into us. This is really impressive. So, Creation and Crisis, title track for the album, the most recent EP that we've put out. That EP is special to us for a lot of reasons. It's a culmination, as I was saying earlier, of Dallin, Brendan, Nate, and I all being together for that, united in vision and in talent, I believe. Creation Crisis itself, you had asked a great question. So you get the creation aspect of it, life in and of itself, for those who are listening who didn't pick up on that. Life is the creation aspect. And there's beauty in life, and it's God-given. It's a gift from God. But the crisis part of it is what we have done in this life. It's the darkness, the AKA the fall of humanity, allowing sin into our life, choosing sin before God. That is the crisis that we face. That is the culmination of, I think, all things that are evil that have transpired in the world is that, because it separates us from God, and all God wants is for us to be with him in a relationship. To me, that's beautiful. God's a gentleman, so he says, okay, you stay on this side, I'll be over here, and when you're ready and do things my way, then we'll be together. And I think that's beautiful. So crisis, just if I were to summarize it, crisis in Creation Crisis is the sin that separates us from God.
You've laid it out. This also ties into something else I've been wondering about your band. Does the song always have to have a positive ending? Or can you just put out the negatives and allow the listener to accept whatever interpretation they want?
I think it's really funny you mentioned that, because a new song that we're working on, after this next song that we're working on, I think will actually do just that.
Yeah, I kind of got that vibe too.
So it might change like as we develop it, but I'll give a little bit of spoiler. It's about revelation and the end times. And there is a point where it's too late. If you haven't accepted by the end, it's over. Like, there will be a point where it's too late.
Yeah.
I really want to try to encapsulate that in the song. We'll see how it progresses as we write it. But I think we're actually touching on that.
How can you ever write a song with anything from Revelation? Nobody understands Revelation.
It's actually perfect because it's all metaphors. That's what's great about it.
Yeah.
You got a guy from 80 AD trying to describe what he's seeing. It's all metaphors. So it actually, I think, will play into making it a really good song. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm with Dallin on that, actually. I think that it's going to make it more artistic. It's going to force us into the column of having to be more creative with our approach, with lyrics, at least, for the most part. I think the music is pretty apocalyptic sounding as it is. Well, not apocalyptic, but it's pretty heavy, which is more associated with that Revelation style, doom and gloom kind of thing. But, you know, Dave, we're actually thinking of doing multiple songs about Revelation, so it may be confusing for some listeners, but I think we're going to make it in a way where it's attractive and understandable on certain levels, but also deep enough to where it's not shallow, like, yay, candy and rainbows, God loves all, you should just smile and everything will be okay.
God is just, like,
he is.
At the end of the day, justice will be done.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really going to want to hear that, because doing a whole release on Revelation, that's going to be pretty intense.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be so much fun. I literally cannot wait.
I think it's time for me to pull in my favorite from Saved by Scarlet, and that's your latest, and you've brought it up a number of times. Memory Relapse speaks about finding serenity in your soul and also drawing on memories of your past. The thing is that, are these only the positive memories, or are you also looking at the hard ones?
All memories, for sure. At least that's what I get out of the song. Everything shapes who you are. Everywhere you've been, good and bad.
I think that it's a very reflective song. Not saying that as a pun. Like, I mean, the design of the song was really to help people reflect on the past, but to see it as a way of learning from the past, not just trying to run away, you know, even if there are regrets, which surely there will be.
Always. We all have some form of regret, but again, it shapes who we are and the choices we make moving forward.
It's also one of the funnest songs, I think, to play, besides Lie of the Pharisees, because that'll always be my favorite.
I thought bands weren't supposed to be able to pick a favorite song, because you're going to alienate somebody.
That's a myth.
These aren't our kids. We're allowed to pick favorites.
The members of Saved by Scarlet have been with the Antidote for a Talk. Guys, I got to thank you so much for taking time for this.
I appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's been an absolute blast.